Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, the place where you'll learn how to keep your identity safe from would-be thieves from all over the world.
And who would think that a benign activity like dating could open you up to a world network of scammers? But yes, it's true. You just can't do anything anymore and think that you could be safe from scammers. But they're out there. They're preying on you. They're preying on your loneliness. No, I'm not talking about gigolos. I'm talking about high-tech scammers that are just out for your money. But hey, we've got Heather Wagenhals here with us now to explain how this one goes down. Heather, how are you?
I am well. I'm sad about the whole no gigolo showing up. What?
Yeah, one of the best things in life, gigolos and whatever you call the female equivalent. I don't remember. But at least with a gigolo, you know, you got the benefit of their company, their companionship, and then you wrote a check and eventually they disappeared on you. But right, high-tech scammers, you just get...
You felt better about it, though, with a real gigolo.
Right, but these are like virtual gigolos, and what good are they?
I know. Well, not much, at least not to us as individuals or women in their 50s and 60s in Canada. Last year, about 1,000 Canadians lost almost $14 million to romance scams, and it's one of the most lucrative in Canada, according to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center.
Really?
The average loss per person was over 14,000, almost 15,000 bucks.
That's just amazing. And like, how does this go down? How do they find these women? And how do they build up the trust level where women start wiring the money or PayPaling or whatever they do? I just don't understand this one, Heather.
Well, you know, it's pretty simple. And actually, it plays into what we do at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation with the whole brain-based financial literacy thing. So if you think about it, there's this stigma if you're a cougar, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because you're older and you're single, you could be hot, whatever. But for women in their 50s and 60s, as you know, we already outlive men. And because of the growing independence of women, unfortunately, there's a lot of them that are single. And when you're desperate to be loved, you're emotionally needy, it's really simple for somebody to slip right in. And it's amazing how computer-mediated conversation can still evoke the same physical emotions and hormone emotions that a face-to-face conversation can. And you get a guy, or it could be a girl, because this scammer is faceless, as far as you know, it's a guy, that plays upon your emotions, tells you what you want to hear, feels like they're going to be everything that you've been missing your entire life. And so you bet the farm on this person because you don't want them to go away. So you fall into their scam. You believe their story. And before you know it, you're writing checks and wiring money all over the place to help them out because you don't want to lose out on this potential last chance at love because you're feeling so desperate.
This reminds me of a show on TV that I've gotten hooked on MTV. It's called Catfish. I don't know if you've caught it or not. It's fascinating to watch. Oh, you got to watch it. So these people, they're usually younger people in their 20s, sometimes early 30s. They develop online relationships and usually through Facebook, Instagram, or other online sites. And sometimes they go on for years, Heather, and they've often never talked to the person, never video chatted with them, and they fall in love with these people, Heather. And usually money doesn't change hands. Sometimes gifts change hands, though. And there's always reasons why the people never meet. They're too busy, career, whatever, kids. And eventually they call this guy Neve, who got catfished. And he arranges a meeting, twists arms, and gets the person who they've been corresponding with digitally to meet. And sometimes when it's a guy they've been corresponding with, they meet the person and it turns out to be real and there's some weird reason why they haven't met. But when it's a woman, it's never really the woman who they thought they were, the guy or the woman, because sometimes there are same-sex relationships going on, but it's never... It's never the same person that they think they're corresponding with. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why. It's all deceit. But here, it's deceit for money. On Catfish, it's twisted reasons going on in these people's minds. And you got to watch this show because it's investigative
stuff. I just looked it up and it says, there's an article here that says, could you knowingly stand by a catfish liar?
At least these catfish people that you're talking about are in it for the money. These other people are really twisted and are getting some type of gratification out of it. Sometimes they're like huge obese people who just don't want to be seen in public. Other times they're playing a mental game that's really sick. And these people are being catfished, but they're being catfished for money. And I guess the term catfish is you're fishing. You think you got like a major striped bass and you're reeling it in and it's pulling and you think you got like a major catch. And then you pull it up and it's like, oh, damn it. I got a catfish or something like that.
You're
right?
Like bottom feeder. Yeah. You know, it's really tough, too, because it's so hard. You know, we're able, with so many different social media outlets, you know, we're really able to connect with people on levels that you never were before. So I think that, you know, when it comes to scams, the first thing you need to know is to know who you're dealing with. If you haven't seen this person in person, then likely it could be a catfish, you know. It could be that for whatever reason that they're concealing themselves is probably, you know, they're not being forthright. And so you have to be prepared for that. One of the things that you can do with the powers of the internet search engines that are out there is take some of their dating profile and copy and paste it, or you can in a search engine, or you can also do an image search and see if they're on other websites around the world, because they'll all pop up. And the Google image search, let me just tell you, is so amazing. And you'll see if somebody has scammed someone else's photos, because you'll see other names on the different profiles. And so you'll see if somebody has kind of pirated someone else's profile to come and woo you. And, you know, the depth of these profiles is also something to be considered. I always get, and it's because, you know, the radio show, it does a lot of social media. So I always get these invitations from people that are like, hey, pretty lady, and it's all written in some funky language, you know, that I've got to put into a translator, and people wanting to get together. Even though my profile says I'm married, and I talk about being married on my show, I still get a lot of dating stuff like that, little proposals or whatever. Or I've had people forthright ask me for money. You have a rich radio show. You must give me money. And I'm like, what? You know, so, but you can search these people and see who they are. If they don't have a huge body of work, meaning if there's not a whole lot of depth or history to a profile, and that person says, oh, well, I'm just new to social media, that's kind of a clue right there that perhaps this person is not genuine. And then again, you know, when you just start dating somebody, how quickly do you start, or do you feel comfortable with asking them for money, especially if you've only been corresponding with them online? You know, but this catfish just proves you can have year-long relationships with people before, you know, you ever see them. So you have to think about that, you know, because when someone asks you to wire money, you just need to imagine a wire equivalent to you pulling cash out of your wallet and setting it on fire, because it's a one-way transaction. You know, there's no way to get it back. You cannot reverse that once you've wired it. You know, same thing with Bitcoin and all these other electronic currencies. You know, they are finite and it's a complete one-way transaction.
What you're saying is so true, and it just amazes me that the desire, the human desire to want to believe, to the need to be loved, like you said, the need to be wanted, just will short circuit all reason and make you do things that you, when you look back afterwards, will just shock you that you could have ever behaved in such a way. And will stop people from reporting it to the authorities, because you'll feel stupid and shamed by your behavior.
Right.
And like you said, simple steps, because there's always inconsistencies. So you just need to look, because the most accomplished liar in the world will make mistakes, will say things, because when you're a liar, you have to have an incredible memory. And when you tell the truth, you don't, which is why you should always tell the truth, because when you were telling the truth, you don't have to have a great memory, because the truth you remember. But being a liar, you exactly. have to remember every lie you said. And one of the good things about being a lawyer is you learn how to pick out lies and inconsistencies. But even if you're not a lawyer, you can do it. But it's incredible.
You just got to be searching for that. But how unfortunate it has become that we need to be that way with others. You know, I mean, I think of, you know, the fact that these scams don't get reported very often is the same reason why, you know, male rape doesn't get reported very often. And because there's a level of embarrassment, like, I can't believe I let that happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that it plays on to that shame factor, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that they think of identity theft as something that is anonymous and foreign and through a computer. But more times than not, identity theft usually occurs with someone you know, and likely it can be a relative. And the reason why is that very same reason, because how likely are you to send your own mother, like in my case, to jail? You know, I mean, my mother, you know, has routinely used my brother's social security numbers to apply for credit when she's been in a pinch, you know, just because she figures, well, you know, I'm their mother. And either she feels like we owe it to her, or she's taking for granted that neither of us want to be the one to send her to prison.
I've heard that story before, and it's very sad, but it does reach a point where you have to take action when it's going to injure you and your family, your ability to make a living. You got to do something. You can't just sit around and be a patsy, even though it's your loved one or former loved one. In that case, I had it with a guy I was going to hire years ago, and we did credit reports at that time, and did a credit report, and the credit report said that the guy was 25 years younger than he said. We did some research, found out that he was using his son's social security number, and said, wait a second, red flag. Confronted him about it, and he said, oh, that social security number just popped into my head. Hey, in case you just joined us, we are talking with Heather Wagenhall on not just how to keep your money from scammers, but how to make it grow once you've managed to protect it. So Heather, investment ideas, what new ones are out there as far as putting your money and making it grow? Real estate, any concepts out there that have struck your fancy lately?
You know, there's some really neat opportunities, and it's a mutual friend of ours, actually. He has kind of a neat real estate investment program where you can invest in other cities, but don't have to identify the property, screen tenants, deal with the headaches of 2 a.m, broken toilet phone calls. Or I remember one time one of my multifamily units had a car go through it, apparently.
Oh, God, really?
On the first floor. Yes. They're like, we need a place to stay. And I'm like, well, you rent one from me. They're like, yeah, this one, not so much anymore. I don't like this car in my living room. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so if you want to avoid those types of things, you know, I am a big, you know, asset-backed investor. So I like stuff that if people don't pay, you can take it away. But while they're creating both cash flow and capital returns, you get to enjoy the cash flow now. And so our friend Jason has a really unique way to invest in real estate without having to be particular about it. So it's like a REIT, a real estate investment trust, where your money is pooled with other investors and spread out over other investments. And so then you just receive a return in exchange for your dollars. Another thing that I like is I've been investing in what they call UCC1.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of people aren't really aware of this, but you can actually get in for pretty low money. And UCC1s are where companies borrow money and they provide assets that secure the money that you're lending. So you get to be a lender. You get to charge a rate of interest that's above what the banks are lending because you're providing funds for a business that either can't qualify because they're too new or their income streams are inconsistent for a bank, or that it's cost prohibitive for them to take the time to go and apply. Because when you apply for business credit, it's a lot different than applying for personal credit. It's not like, oh, you drop in your social security number and some personal information and wham, you get something. So business credit takes a long time to apply for because you have to provide all sorts of financials. But if you want to be able to invest securely, one of the greatest things to do is to buy a UCC1. And I personally would buy a note that's already been seasoned, meaning somebody else has lent the money and they've collected payments on it. And so you know that it's a performing note. I really like those because I think that, you know, you can make above average rates return that you can't make on a savings bond, you know, out there today. It's just not going to happen. But how do you secure your money and know it's invested safely and be able to get a return? And asset-backed securities are my big favorite thing because they provide two things, both capital appreciation and cash flow.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's also a great way to invest locally. If you've got a guy Dave, I can't remember his last name. He's from Canada, but he's been masterful in finding these deals and financing them. But let's say the guy does concrete floors and he needs this one piece of equipment that say it's $5,000 and he polishes concrete floors. It's a polisher, for an example. And every time he rents that machine, it costs him $500 for the week. Okay. And he can buy it for $5,000 or $7,500. He's got $1,000 to put down on the machine. He needs $6,500. You see that his credit's fairly okay. What Dave likes about this is you put up the balance, you UCC it. And because it's a cash flow enhancing investment, meaning he's saving money as he does it, and you make sure that the market's there for it, you loan him the money, you cash flow it, and you make sure that he has skin in the game. You don't want to loan all the money, all right? Mm-hmm. And you do it for 12%, say, because the bank isn't really going to want to loan to this guy. It's a great deal. And you make him write all the checks to you in advance for the months that it's going to be. Let's say it's an 18-month loan or something like that. Dave's a master at it. And I've got his book here. It's called Invest Locally. He's made a living doing this, you know, getting really high returns. And then what Dave will do is he'll say, Heather, Joe Smith here, he's a concrete polisher. And I've had this note for 6 months. I'll sell you half of it. And I'll give you a 10% return on it, even though I'm making 12%. And he makes an even higher return on that note. And it's all informal. It's informal in terms of he's going to assign part of the note to you, but it's not done on a handshake. It's an assignment agreement. And he ups his return. He's winding up getting 16 or 17%. It's really brilliant. And the great thing is you're keeping the money in your community, helping people in your community to build up their businesses. Joe Smith, the concrete polisher, he's no longer having to rent the equipment. His cash flow is going way up. You're helping him build his business. You're getting an above average return. This is win-win. Forget the bank. The bank didn't want a loan to him anyway. You can't believe.
Or if they did, they would have given him a credit card at 18 to 27%.
Yeah. Right.
So the concrete guy is making out too.
Oh yeah, everybody is winning on this. And he no longer has to rent the equipment every time he wants it. Sometimes he can't get the equipment because it's already been rented out. It's really ideal. And Dave has, I'll put the link up for the book. Book is a great book. These deals come to him all the time because he's got a reputation for doing these deals. They're all over the place. UCC1, I mean, theoretically, he could still sell the piece of equipment. But as a practical matter, you're looking for people with good character and who aren't going to run out on you. And they're all over the place, these deals. All over.
Yeah, here in Arizona, our local government, you know, you register your UCC-1 with a Secretary of State. Right. So there is a little bit of government regulation involved. So you do have the legitimacy of the registration. You know, so when we talk about frauds and scams, you're able to go down to your local state government, at least here in Arizona. I'm not sure how the rest of the country works. But here in Arizona, you register your UCC-1, and any type of alteration to that occurs down there. It's all filed and is legal and available for you to really capitalize on that and invest locally.
Yeah. Oh, it's a really great thing. You're doing a real service. You're earning really great returns, and you have the ability to sell off the note or pieces of the note and make great returns that way as well. So I highly recommend it. Haven't done it myself. Hasn't come up, but it really gives you the ability to invest locally and help people, help your community. And look, in these hard times, if you can do that, you're really doing a service. So
yeah, it's a great deal. I've been doing it for 3 years now, and I just love it because you're giving, you know, you're fueling the entrepreneurial spirit that appears to be lost in this country due to overregulation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're keeping people out of the marketplace who desperately want to be in the marketplace. I mean, there's a value to concrete policy. You know, this guy is providing a quality service. And if he can do it for less, that's good for his business, his customers. And you get to be a part of that. I mean, isn't that great when you can foster someone else's success? I mean, that's the thing that drives me every day. That's why I seek out the people I interview on my show and write about the things that I do, because it helps empower people to take charge of their own lives so they know that they can do it. They don't have to be just a minion of the federal government working for others.
Yeah, that's such a great point. On that note, we got to run. Just tell us, Heather, your radio show, website, where we find you.
UnlockYourWealthRadio.com, where you go to get your money mind right. So your wealth and happiness will follow.
Hey, Heather, we will talk with you again soon. You be well.
You too. Make it a prosperous day.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.